You're listening to the Motor Mouths.
Oh, boys!
You guys got your celebrity on. You don't want to hang with us. It's okay.
Stop sliding across my hood.
Ray?
Yes?
Chris?
Yes?
Are you keeping it between the ditches there, son?
Motor Mouths!
I listen to those guys. You know, I look forward to it every Thursday and Sunday.
Hey there. I was calling to speak to Ray.
Motor Mouths!
You don't have to be Italian to join.
Just listen, even if you hate cars, and if you hate Chris and Ray, which people do.
I got a call question.
Our trained staff of two will help.
Friend of mine has you listening?
No.
No.
Why don't we call those guys in the Motormouth and break their chops?
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
All right, Chris, before Ray's head explodes.
It's always fun to abuse the callers.
The people that own Porsches don't listen to this program.
This is also the remote correspondent for Motormouth Radio.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
And I was just calling to see if you could give me a little advice.
I got my Motormouth t-shirt here. Yeah, it looks really good.
No problem. Thanks, Ray. Thanks, Chris. You guys be cool.
Motormouth!
Nobody listens to the show. Anyway, so what's the difference?
And Motormouth Radio will be there as well.
I hate cars. I hate people with cars. I'm going home on a horse.
You're going to have some sacrifice somewhere if you want to make a repair.
Sacrifice was coming in doing the show today.
Yeah, it is a sacrifice in a show, right? There you go.
Every week.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motormouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHPC.
Motormouth!
This is Motormouth Radio, your one-hour automotive talk show. And now, here are your Motormouths, Chris Switzer and Ray Guarino.
All righty, home to some of the mightiest car junkies on the planet. We are Motormouth Radio, your one-hour automotive talk show. Right here, right now, on Long Island, I'm Chris Switzer. And of course, here's a man who's repackaging all of that old, stale, spiked eggnog and reselling it as exotic carnauba wax. You know him as Ray Guarino behind the shop bench. How are you, my brother?
Good, and I want to know if you want to up that order from two to three cases,
three
like you
cases,
said.
Okay, please, because I can resell that stuff real easy in my neighborhood.
You got it. Yeah, out of the trunk of a car in a milk crate, like everything else in Brooklyn.
And of course, making this show 521 or 522% better, it all depends on who drops whatever they're doing while listening to us and go, oh, good, he's here. Let's go call him. It's Joe D. From Standard Motor Products.
Jingle
here with us,
bells, guys.
Obi Don Cannoli himself.
How you doing,
How
guys?
Are you?
Good. And I will tell you, Joe, I reviewed the last show on Saturday instead of Friday, and I got 8 really good sound clips out of that show.
Uh-oh.
You were on fire. And yeah. And Chris, in going back, the last 4 shows before that, I had like 2, 3, 1. They were like kind of mince, poco, poco, just kind of not too bad. I'm like, oh my god, I'm like, am I going to run out of room on this page to put these clips down?
Yeah,
people should go to motormouthradio.com.
Right,
go to the download page. Well, actually, it's on the homepage right now.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to Thursday's show.
It was good.
It was excellent.
It was very good. You could also watch us on motormouthradio.com.
Is the video hooked up?
The video is hooked up.
Is the audio plugged in?
Audio is plugged in.
Sure, when I ask, it's in. Of course, the other time, it's like, God damn, forgot that.
Right, and that was the Christmas Eve show. And I must admit, there's not much that's live on Christmas Eve. Some is, some isn't, but it's always like, you know, half in the bag, half not in the bag. We were on fire, and I enjoyed the
bag
show
was too. On fire, and somebody was trying to get someone to step on it.
Yeah, Bill was trying.
He was. Right, because Bill threw you a curveball. We have one of our callers. I appreciate Bill very much when he calls.
Oh, yeah, bring him on.
Because he always has some of the strangest questions. And I know a lot of times before the camera, I would look at Ray and go, is this your friend of yours?
Right,
like,
we
you
would
know,
always
kind of,
do that.
We would mouth each other.
Qualify like, the caller.
Friend of yours?
Yeah, exactly.
You know this guy?
No. Wait,
this guy is not me.
You know this guy?
But yeah, so listen to the show on Christmas Eve. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But, go ahead.
Swedish meatballs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and just it inspired me to do a little research. As a matter of fact, I got out the colored pencils. I did a little research for you there, Bill. So if you're out there.
Yeah, I'm going to send that off to Bill. I will send him an email.
Yes.
And send him
we have the
attachments.
We did the colored pencil thing in front of the, while watching Christmas TV shows there.
It's kind of funny. I, and I appreciate it, Joe, when you actually sit down and develop and kind of compose a schematic for whatever problem that's going on. In this case, Bill, I think, was having an issue with his
headlights.
Headlights.
Yes.
And
it's the water dripping, I'll just leave that to the Army Corps of Engineers.
Right, that's right. That's gravity. We'll leave it up to gravity. But what I find interesting is that when you send us schematics explaining whatever problem ails us, they always have these bright red arrows.
Yes.
Here. Like, point here. Look here. And that's exactly what I want in a shop manual. If I've ever gotten to compose a shop manual, to write some sort of how-to automotive book, I'm going to borrow all those red arrows, because it's going to be one of those type of, you know, that'll borrow you. It's going to be one of those, like, look here, dummy type of books, because that's what I need when I'm on.
I want a scan tool that's going to, here, stupid, change this.
Well, schematics particularly. My wife and I were just talking about auto electric this morning, believe it or not.
You and your wife were talking about, really?
And she brought it up that, she goes, well, a lot of guys don't really know about electricity. We're talking about you, actually. Yes. I'll just tell you what we were talking about you and your energy problem.
Get them
and she
off.
Goes, a lot of guys don't really know about electricity. I said, no, they don't. It's a common thing. You're and right. I don't. It's like if you brought up chemistry or biology or nuclear. A lot of guys, I don't know about a lot of that stuff either. But
all I know about electricity, and I'm serious, is what I learned.
Ow, that hurt. Ow, that hurt.
Yeah, right.
Why do I keep doing that? Oh, that feels good. Ow, that feels.
Don't touch that again. Is slot car motors.
Right. Yes. That's one of the things I cut my teeth on.
Yeah.
And a few other appendages.
Right.
But it didn't go pretty much past that.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. You have more of a buy-in than a lot of people.
Let's go to the phones and check out the buy-in on the line and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
So I don't want to take away from Chris and Ray's great knowledge, but I got to tell you, I listen to the show a lot. And Joe D is like the Albert Einstein of the car electricians.
Wow.
It's the hair.
Yeah, the hair.
It's the hair.
Who's the high? Who's this giving us high praise?
It's a new owner of a 944. Ray will tell you
Cliff.
That code.
Oh, geez, hey, Cliff. Well, you're talking to us on a different phone. What happened? What happened to the water-driven cell phone yet?
And I don't like it. I went from a BlackBerry to an iPhone, and I'm unfortunately, I'm not a technology-savvy guy like Joe D.
Uh-huh.
And I'm fighting it every step of the way, but I had no choice. You know, BlackBerry broke. I had the old one with the hard keys, and... it's time to step up.
It's funny, Cliff, because usually the iPhones sound great. The audio is a little choppy, which is kind of unusual for an iPhone or any new smartphone.
You sound crisp and clear.
Is it any better now?
That's a lot better.
That's better.
Are you like mushing it against your face, Cliff?
Yeah. It's not I don't know. Not crazy about it. But,
it takes a little time. But does it sound better when you mush it up against your face?
Mm-hmm. That's how it sounds whenever Cliff talks to us on the phone. It sounds like he's.
It might be the balance of the rear speaker. They actually have a noise canceling thing that if you shut it off, it actually sounds better.
Wow. Joe, you working on cell phones at all?
That's why I have children.
Yeah.
Cliff,
it's like going from a little snub nose to like a 6-inch barrel. You know what I'm saying? It's a big difference, but you get used to it after a while.
Going from a 22 to a 40 caliber.
There you go. Just to make an analogy.
Yes, it's quite an analogy.
It's either that or like a Hellfire missile, actually.
So, Joe, good that you're in on this, because you'll be getting the emails soon, because Cliff did buy a 944 Porsche.
Wow. Cliff.
And it's a beautiful car.
I'm not a Porsche guy. I'm not even a foreign car guy, as you know, Ray.
Wait a minute. What about the Jaguar that just passed through the family?
Ford parts, so that kind of
that's not foreign.
That kind of passed, you know.
Cliff,
and, I always feel Tony Blair was a good friend of our country, so I gotta give the English a couple of props, you know.
Cliff, do you like biting into a canker sore? Do you like when the pain goes away?
Well, Cliff, you know, that car needed a was it a map sensor or a map sensor that it needed?
So it was at Danny's shop, one of his longtime customers, an older woman, and she's owned the car since new. It was her husband's. He passed away about 10 years ago, and it was just sitting there for a couple of months. And one of those things I kept saying, Danny, what's up with that car?
Wow.
He goes, I don't know. She dropped it off. I think she wants to get rid of it.
You think?
It went on for until she finally came upon a price. And I didn't pay a lot of money for it. I mean,
right.
I paid $2,000 for the car.
You did well.
It's a 83 944 with 60,000 original miles. She has every document since day one, every oil change, everything.
Nice.
It needs a math sensor. And he's doctored the math sensor a couple of times, Danny, over the years, because I guess, you know, prior to the internet, the new part was quite expensive. So So he would like take the old one apart and mess around with it, and then it is still very expensive, the new part, if you could find it. But
there are
quite a bunch of guys that have tested ones, used ones on eBay that give you like a warranty. These Porsche guys, that,
a new part for a 25, 30 year old Porsche that's expensive. Go on, yes. Cliff. That's amazing.
The whole point is I gotta put the sensor in and see if my investment was okay.
Right.
Because the car is running a little, you know, it stalls out and it runs rough, and you gotta like feather the gas pedal.
Mm-hmm.
And Danny claims it's definitely the map sensor. So hopefully when that sensor goes in and it runs good, it'll be my extra knock around car for a little bit. You know, my daughter's in college, she could use my car and that'll be like my train station car.
MAF, Cliff.
Sort of like your Fiat, Ray, you know?
Yeah, except mine runs well. I can fix it and get parts cheap.
Cliff, is that...
So, yeah, just like that.
Did you say an MAP sensor or an MAF sensor?
MAF, mass airflow.
Mass airflow, yes. Okay. That mass. Makes sense.
MAP, yeah, I'm just saying MAP.
The MAP sensor is nothing but a glorified vacuum.
Right.
MAF. It's an L system. Yeah. Okay. Right. If that goes right. Well, listen. That's cars still use mass airflow sensors.
Yes.
Sure. And they're a very big part of how stuff works. So it's either it's out of range or you got a vacuum leak.
Right.
Basically. Mm-hmm. And that thing has no diagnostics. I don't think of. Mm. So it's not even like you can code it out.
No, it's an 83.
Yeah.
The diagnostics are like smoke screens.
You know, right,
you
right,
you have to watch the rhythm out of the tailpipe.
As somebody I know who used to be into those cars used to say, it's like a pair of ice grips and a bag of Speedy Dry. That's the diagnostic tools.
Joe, are there guys that rebuild these mass airflow sensors?
It
is something you got to find a good used one?
It is possible. Generally, mass airflow sensors are hot wires. And it's some electrical circuit in there, which I should have listened to mom and got to college, called the Wheatstone Bridge.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I just remember that as looking out my backyard when I lived back there. But essentially, if they get dirty, all right, or if they get out of range, what it does is the air running through the sensor cools off the hot wire. And there's a little circuit in there that measures that cooling off effect. And that is made into a voltage that the computer understands.
Yeah, it's a thermostatic sensor that converts heat to voltage.
Right. And what it basically does at that point is it tells the ECM, okay, you've got this much air coming in, open the injectors for that long. Mm-hmm. And there's a little, you know, little lookup chart inside there. And anything that throws out a curveball, which would include a vacuum leak or an Audi calibration sensor, would, especially on an older car like that where you don't have a lot of other... intelligence, a lot of other rationality that just wasn't invented yet, the car's just going to get all stupid on you.
I was just hoping to know how a car was carbureted and I could just hand the carburetors to Ray. Yeah. We built during one of the shows.
That would have been nice.
It would have been.
Well, that's the corollary to let Ray drive. It's let Ray build it.
Yes.
I have that. I saved that clip on my phone. I got to get a better clip.
Cliff, thank you so much, my brother.
I'll see you guys. Have
always
a great
pleasure.
Whatever the weekend is.
See you. All right, Cliff. Bye-bye. We'll talk to you soon. Good luck with the car.
And better... Well, yay.
Ouch. 516-572-7440 is the phone number. Cliff has got to get himself a new phone.
Yes.
That's Ray Guarino, Joe D, Obi-Don Cannoli in with us today. So grab the phone. Stop what you're doing. He's here. Stretch the wrinkles out of his brain. And, of course, you know the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. Drivers shopping for a car between Christmas and New Year's. We like to lovingly call this week Dead Week. And if you feel like seeing the loneliest place on the planet, you go to a car dealership and shop for a car. So check them out. And if you are, you're part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. Keep it where you got it.
We'll be back with answers to your car questions. Give us a call at 516-572-7440. Oh, I should have said more than that.
WHPC 90.3 FM, the radio voice of Nassau Community College, is looking for individuals, businesses, charities, or organizations in our local global community that would like to donate to support our radio station. Whether you listen locally or online, here's how it works. Go to our webpage at ncc.edu/WHPC and click Donate Now. Or if you prefer, you can send a check to WHPC Radio, 1 Education Drive, Garden City, New York, 11530. Make your check payable to the NCC Foundation. In the memo of your check, write WHPC Donate Now. Any contribution will help defray our operating costs, and it's tax deductible. This message was brought to you by the radio voice of Nassau Community College, streaming online at ncc.edu/WHPC.
Alrighty, welcome back to Motor Mouth Radio. We're taking those calls. 516-572-7440 is the phone number. Ray Guarino, I'm Chris Switzer, of course. Joe D with us, Obi Don Cannoli, the man in the clouds, the individual I like to affectionately call Uncle Ibunge. And all ready for you at 516-572-7440. And Ray is trying to get technological over there. I think he's taking a picture of his microphone with his phone.
Like Joe said.
I have a three-word solution for you.
I love my three-word solutions. Joe?
Let Ray drive.
Save to my phone. Right along with Jack Barsky and Ronald Reagan clips.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, I always say that would be the first step in the ping thing going on with the Nissan. How is the ping thing with the Nissan?
Oh.
Come to think of it.
It still pings.
Right.
But not as much as it used to.
Right.
I've been on the road with it a lot more in not as much traffic as I used to be. It still sees some traffic every once in a while. But I notice that it happens as I come out of the driveway, make my two rights to go up the block.
Okay, so you're in third gear.
Stop it right
there. You're right. We've both driven with Chris.
I tell you, Joe, it annoys the crap out of my longtime radio colleague that I do shift early.
Oh, I find it hilarious. It doesn't bother me at all, really.
The truck doesn't rev. That's the problem.
Because you choke the living bejesus out of it.
It's torquey. But anyway, so you throw me off the track there. Anyway, it pings there.
Right.
Right up that block. And that's it. That's it. Once I wait for the light and cross the avenue and then on to the next block, it seems to be fine. So it's only getting a ping there. And I do exactly what Ray says. I dump it out of third, back in the second again, and it clears it right up.
Uh-huh. But just to back up a little, at that point, the truck is still predominantly cold. We're not looking.
Right.
So usually you get ping when the engine's hot.
I get it when it's
unless
cold.
Unless there's another fault.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I get it.
Or fault.
And if you were to, like, just drive around the block, you know, come home, park the car for a few minutes, and go out and recreate that same driving pattern, will it do it?
Probably not.
Probably not.
Aha. Uh-huh.
That might be something to try.
That's a piece
doing.
Of the puzzle, yeah.
Yeah, because maybe, I'm just thinking, maybe you have a little bit more advanced while you're cold.
Ignition timing, yeah. It's not retarded. It's too advanced.
How can something like that be adjusted? It doesn't have a conventional distributor.
Right.
Well, you go over to, I think Nissan's are built in, what, Nagasaki there? Mm-hmm. And then you go and you go talk to Fujiwama Tanaka and tell him to pull it back again. No. You work with it.
You work with it. Exactly. You deal with it.
Right, right,
Fujiwama,
right.
when you ask for that, he'll say,
no.
Right.
I'll tell you, though, I will never in a million years, and at least I'm saying this now at this juncture, I don't ever want to change the knock sensor in that car.
Oh, no, they're under the intake.
Yeah.
Some cars have several.
Yeah, this one has one.
Yeah, that's
a toughie.
And
like Joe says, I've had the intake off the car.
Did you change it when you did that?
No.
Why?
Because it wasn't knocking at the time.
Mister, let's change every sensor in the book because they're there.
Well, that's the... Well,
why didn't you?
Because I would have heard from my longtime radio colleague, what the hell are you doing changing all those sensors for? You waste the money. You throw money out the window.
That's right, but you haven't learned. You just don't tell me that. Don't tell me, and I don't know.
Yeah, just...
I have no problem with not knowing.
Things we have
Come
to,
on.
You know, I have to, right there.
I have to lie to the both of you, don't I?
Although, you know what? Maybe we'll have to just throw a scan tool on it and see if the knock sensor works.
Okay, well, Christian says... ping, or is it a sloppy cold piston? Like he's talking piston slap, but that's usually discernible from
sloppy
ping.
Sloppy cold piston.
Because, you know, what my wife had a Grand Am.
I have all those albums, too.
Yeah, the sloppy cold piston. My wife had a Grand Am with a V6 in it, and that was known, I looked into it, they were known for piston slap when the engine was cold.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as it warmed up, it went away.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't mistake that for a ping. I guess it's possible that you could.
No,
I don't know.
It doesn't sound like anything mechanical. It really doesn't. It sounds like a ping.
Well, many times people think a fuel injector is a lifter. You know, how many times have you heard that?
Oh, right. True.
You know, so
no, you're right.
You can mistake things for other things.
No, you're absolutely right. And the funny thing is, I confuse it sometimes with the blower motor, because the blower motor sometimes goes like, makes like this kind of purr.
Oh, yeah, my minivan started doing that. It's like a...
My Mazda does that. I'm like, first thing in the morning, if it's cold, I'll get a noise in the, like up in the upper middle dashboard. And I'm like, oh, God, here we go.
And here's another thing that cracks me up, Joe, and I'm glad you brought this up, because we've got a couple of minutes, and I do have to say this. I shut the Pathfinder off, and this is what I hear. Bop. I'm like, what the hell?
From where?
Dripping?
From the dash. No, it sounds like dripping, but it's not dripping. There's nothing dripping. There's nothing wet. It sounds like a like hitting the side of a rubber Spalding. Bop, 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 with your fingernail. And I cannot for the life of me figure out. Mind you, there's no performance issues. There's no problems.
Well, you kind of did allude to a performance issue before.
Other than the pinging. What other performance issue before?
What was the word you used when you described the acceleration? I'm trying to remember. What was
I don't
the word?
Remember who you are.
I don't know either. I thought I silenced this. You did say it was something because it was very torquey. It didn't have that kind of
It was kind of like a hoary sort of run to it. Like, oh, like that.
Yeah, but just before you used the word, and I can't remember what it was.
I don't remember.
Christian says his 2.2 when it's cold sounds like nuts in a blender.
Oh, mine too. My Cavalier too. Yeah, that's just Cavaliers. That's that 2.2 motor.
That hurts.
Yeah, it's okay though. It's a Cavalier.
Yeah, it's true, Joe. I heard you pull away on Thursday, and that's what it did sound like.
And Christian says that's why he turns up Motor Mouth Radio, and it all goes away.
That's it.
Yes, exactly.
A different kind of nut.
We'll, we're going to take your calls at 516-572-7440 after we'll take this quick break. That's what we'll do that. We'll do that now. We'll take a quick break. Right. And we'll come back, and we're going to take those calls. 516-572-7440 is the phone number. Joe D in the studio blessing us with his presence one more time. He's getting all his licks in before 2016, that's for sure.
These guys are tough, let me tell you.
Ray Guarino, I'm Chris Switzer. Of course, you can hear this program on Performance Motorsports Network. You can check it out on iHeartRadio as well. And you can watch us, spawnlive.tv/MotorMouthRadio. I almost got water to come out of my nose because of Ray Guarino. It may just happen again.
Yeah, the show. A peanut butter sandwich came out instead.
Ray, Neddy Pie, the Guarino.
Yeah. We have more info coming your way. Keep it where you got it.
The Motor Mouth will be right back with your car questions. Give us a call at 516-572-7440.
Tune in to Recovery Road, where Dr. Jim Dolan explores the issues related to mental illness and drug and alcohol abuse. Along with experts in the field, he examines the process of recovering from these conditions. Recovery Road airs on Wednesdays at 11 a.m. and Fridays at 3:30 a.m. Right here on 90.3 FM, the radio voice of Nassau Community College, now streaming online at ncc.edu/WHPC.
Let the Motor Mouths help you with all of your car questions at 516-572-7440.
Oh, yeah, we're back. Back and better than ever. Motor Mouth Radio. 516-572-7440. Let's go to the phones. To the fun we go and say hi around with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, this is Bob at Oceanside.
Hey, what's up, Bob?
I have a question
for
Joey D.
Hey there.
A 96 Beretta.
Ah.
And the code keeps coming on for the OGC oxygen sensor thing for the exhaust.
Okay.
And the motor for the EGR, could that be tested anyway by me?
Okay, it's a 96 Beretta.
Right.
With what motor?
3.1.
All right, the V6. Yeah, okay. Yep. Good, good. And do you remember the code number by any chance?
No,
or the,
I don't.
Or the exact description, because one of the components on a OBD2 vehicle is the oxygen sensor. They have like between all the, there's more than one of them. And, you have high voltage, slow response, fast response, having a bad hair day. It just goes on and on and on. So, when O2 code is kind of a broad thing. So if you knew that, I could tell you more. And what were you mentioning about EGR?
Yeah, the EGR. That's what
you're also getting that code, too?
Yeah, Yeah.
PO 401, well, 402, well, 403, whatever. Yeah.
I don't know. It's, my son has a car. He has a reader.
Okay.
But what he did was, for like a last, maybe a year or two ago, he would take and put a speedometer cable into the hole from the AGR into the manifold.
Oh, 401 low flow,
clean
yeah.
It out, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
And that would clear it out, but now it's not working.
Well, okay.
EGR valves do seize up. They do fall prey to carbon.
Sure.
Uh-huh. Is it the exact same code?
I'm not sure.
Okay. The reason why I'm saying this is that the 3.1 had a very high tendency to clog up the EGR passage, which would give you the low flow code, which slamming the speedometer cable through would that's an easy fix on those, because the way that it was designed, the carbon would congeal right in the passage and just form like this big coal mine in there. But if the valve itself has stopped working, or if you got a clog someplace else, let me ask you this: how does the car run?
Runs great.
Runs fine, huh?
Yeah.
And the other code was for the oxygen sensor. You don't remember whether it was oxygen sensor number one or oxygen sensor number two?
No, I don't know. Cause...
Okay.
Yeah.
Joe, it's like you're at work.
Is there any way I could test the motor?
The EGR?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you're not going to do it with a reader. You need a scan tool that has the ability to see the EGR position. And GM, they give you tons of data. You don't necessarily need a factory tool for this, like the Tech 1 or the Tech 2. A good snap-on or one of them, or telescanners would do just fine on this.
Okay.
And you could actually watch the thing open and close. As a matter of fact, you can command the thing open and closed and watch to see if the valve operates. Yeah.
Is that OBD2 or OBD1?
96 is OBD2.
OBD2.
That's called bidirectional control, which I was talking about.
Right,
where you can
command
it from the scan tool.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Bob, if you can get some of that data, some of the codes and some of the data, and send it to us in an email, this way we have something to go by. We'll get it, of course, to Joe and get you...
Give me a more definitive
answer.
Give me some specifics. I'll go to town on it for you. Not a problem.
All right, well, I'm friends with Christian, and he says his father's got one of those scan tools, you know, the good one that you can plug that into it, and it'll open and close the valve.
Yeah, if he can take a snapshot, if you can get a snapshot data, then you can download it or upload it to your computer. You could just attach it to an email. Then we have all the information right there.
All right, so I just wondered maybe I could put 12 volts to...
No, you can't. That EGR valve off the top of my head has five wires, three of which are for the position sensor, two of which are for the motor. The motor is duty cycled. If you put 12 volts directly to it, you can to the count of like two. After that, now you're going to need an EGR valve because it was never meant to.
Christian sent me a message, and he says he's been working on that with Bob for a while, and he wants to know if the EGR motor he has is a stepper motor only.
No, it's not. It's not really a true stepper motor. It's pulsed at 128 hertz.
Okay.
And it's duty cycled to get the desired position.
All right.
It's not a stepper motor in the case that it just moves to a certain position and stays.
So it's load dependent.
In other words, whatever the ECM wants it to do, it'll pulse it that much longer or shorter.
Got it.
You know?
All right. That sounds great.
Well, there you go,
give
Bob.
Me some specifics. I used to work on those cars left and right, so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean,
the car runs great, you know, there's no problem with it, you know, just that it keeps, saying that a CGR code on the dash, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Yeah, just give me the specifics and I'll give you an idea what's going on. The valve itself could be toasted, too. If, it's 20 years old, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. How much do they cost, They're a lot, right?
They ain't cheap, but they're actually more reasonable these days. You know
I
what I mean?
The valve for my Impala. I think it was like I bought a Delco valve, and it was about $40-something.
Yeah,
$45. Of course, made in China.
Yeah,
it said AC Delco on the box.
Maybe I'll just change it.
Yeah, assuming of course that it is the. Wait a second. You said you was that an O2 heater code by any chance? Did the word heater come up in the description?
No, I don't have no idea. My son, has.
All right, you know why? Because something just clicked. Check if it was an O2 heater code.
Yeah.
Unplug the EGR valve and see if the pink wire with the black stripe has power with the key on. If it does not, go to the O2 sensor and see if that same pink and black wire, which should be there, which is your key on power. Pink and black is always key on power in a GM of that era. I bet you the fuse popped.
Uh-huh.
Ooh.
That's how I just tied that.
If the load was high enough, yeah, it could overload.
Yeah, if something shorted. But you know what? If the code was for like EGR control circuit, which I think is PO404, top of my head, or actually it could be a P14, which is one of them manufacturer-specific codes. It's Sunday. Come on, give me a break. And then if it's the O2, if it's an O2 heater code, yeah, you may have popped the fuse.
Okay.
All right. Give me the specifics.
There you
lay
go,
it on
Bob.
Me and bang, zoom. All right?
Okay.
You got
Thanks,
it.
Bob.
Thanks, Bob. We'll talk soon. Keep in touch.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Bye-bye. 516-572-7440. That came off the top of this man's head. This is why
actually
we call
it came out of the back of my, the bottom OB face of my skull.
And that was a blank spot. Maybe you could just, I was working on this math problem before. Maybe you could play with that
Oh,
yourself.
I suck at math.
I know. Well, I worked it out. I want to see if my proof is correct.
516-572-7440. While Joe kind of puts those wrinkles back in his brain, they were pretty stretched out there. What is he doing?
He's doing algorithms, logarithms, and powers of 2 of 10. Hey, I found a piece. We don't have time right now.
He's also taking off his shoes.
There's a auto wrecker out in Sun Valley in California. This made the news, by the way, the LA Daily News and others. It's a U-Pick Parts junkyard, and it's going to close.
What?
Now, this thing is iconic.
What?
Do we have time in this segment, or should we wait till the next?
We got about 4 minutes.
It's Alden Brothers Auto Wrecking. The owner, Nathan B. Alden, he's closing the Sun Valley business on January 1st. For more than a half century, this yard, this is the picture of the,
right,
how they have it.
I'd hold it up to the camera. But
yeah, it's just a black and white, right. People have made pilgrimages to the U-Pick yard for many years. Now, as any TV scout or Hollywood filmmaker who needed a shot in a mega junkyard, they went there.
Wow. Oh, and that's that yard? Yeah,
that's
okay.
The one. Often of a wild-eyed captive bound in the car trunk, about to be flattened by a screeching crusher. I think they had you in that position a few times, Joe. Then they'd send the camera crew out to
Sun Valley. You've been to my wedding.
Yeah. Now, some of the iconic shows this thing was used on. It's been featured on countless TV shows from the 60s era L.A. cop drama Adam 12, which I just got more DVDs of for Christmas.
Oh, good.
To the 70s era Chips, which I have the whole season of on bootleg.
Wow.
Right.
There's a whole thing. You can Google this. They're selling off everything. They're selling equipment, cars, parts, you name it. And it's out in Sun Valley. I found it, so you could find it too very easily.
You pick, yeah, okay. I had heard something about this place. Yeah, it is indeed iconic. Plus, they got some really good stuff there, though.
I think that came through on Hot Rod Hotline, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. I believe it might have, yeah, because the other thing, I saw other pictures of this, and they've got cars there from like the 60s and 70s,
oh, yeah,
rust-free.
Yes.
I mean, that's one thing you got to love about the West. You know what I mean? They sell tickets to rust in potholes. It's like, what is that stuff?
But you won't find any interior parts. You won't, the dashboard, it'll turn to dust.
Oh, no.
The steering wheels are cracked clean.
It's God's convection oven out there.
Yeah.
You have to go to 11.
You have to go to Toronto, Canada, to those used pick parts over up there, because where all the rusty cars are, the interiors are all in great shape.
Or just buy interior restoration kits.
There you go.
516-572-7440 is the phone number. The man we like to call, the person we deal with in the clouds, Joe D from Standard Motor Products, here with us. So drop whatever you're doing, pick up that phone, and test the mind of the master. He is here with us, Ray Guarino. I'm Chris Switzer. Remember, you can catch the show on Performance Motorsports Network. You can also listen to it later on the download page on MotorMouthRadio.com. You can hear it on HiHeartRadio. We're proud. We're proud of all those places. And we're also in the middle of dead week, where you can't really do much. Can't get a mortgage. Can't see a doctor. You can't fulfill any appointments because it's dead week. So go work on your car. And we'll be right back. We'll be waiting for you. Just watch. We'll be waiting.
The Motor Mouths will be right back with your car questions. Give us a call at 516-572-7440.
What's new, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa. What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Hi, this is Ray Bertolino, the news director here at WHBC Radio, the voice of Nassau Community College. If you're a Nassau Community College student who's interested in a career in news broadcasting, if you think you might have what it takes to report and produce top-notch newscasts, covering local, national, and international news, and business and entertainment and sports news, then give me a call, Ray Bertolino, at 516-572-7439. That's 516-572-7439 at WHPC Radio, the voice of Nassau Community College. I look forward to hearing from you.
What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's new, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa.
Have a question about your car or someone else's car? Then give the Motormouths a call, 516-572-7440.
It's so funny because Joe and Ray are talking about you pick parts places and going back and forth, and that's all I heard. I heard every third word while I was sitting here staring at the board here. But, and calculating.
We were doing math. We were talking about math. I told Joe I was working on a problem this morning.
Calculating. What the heck is this? Question. Prove 0 over 0 equals 2. That's what we have to prove. 0 over 0 equals 2. Can I hold this up to the camera?
If you like, sure.
All right.
I don't even see the numbers on the bottom of the wings of that one.
I don't know what in God's name I'm looking at here.
Hey, Joe, I guess our friend Mark is listening from Arizona because he says, oh, it's the damn, he's good. Must be nice to have a memory. He's never met you, though.
No.
So he's never had a conversation where you went, huh? What? Who are you?
My usual?
Yeah, all of our usuals, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I think we only have, half an hour left of this fine program.
Chris, I'm sure you read through your whole issue of Street Rod Life magazine since I last gave it to you.
Never left the bag.
I know.
That was the one with the wiring from Tony Kindell.
Yeah, I want to mention this again. If you could hold this up, hold up the cover and then the article. Our good friend Tony Kindell from CE Auto Electric Supply out in, he is in Arizona. Has an article in this magazine, and we have a few of them, and we can send them out to lucky listeners if they would like to have a copy for themselves. The article kind of encapsulates Tony's wiring books.
Yes.
There's three books. One of them is kind of the same book, but with some addendums to it, that go really in-depth into the nuts and bolts, if you will, of wiring. And this article kind of...
The electrons and the neutrons.
Yeah, kind of a... And he does do a big Ohm's Law thing in there, but... You know, this kind of encapsulates all of it here. Joe, here's one for you. Oh, so if you want one, get in touch with us.
Mm-hmm.
Send us an email, motormouthradio@ncc.edu, or go to motormouthradio.com where you can find that information. Give us an address where we can send it. Haven't had to send any to a jail lately, so that would be interesting. And I'll get you one, because Tony sent a few out. He was gracious enough to share them with our listeners. So
I didn't realize that was part of... Part of the people we send stuff to.
And some strange things have happened.
I'm sure they have. 516-572-7440. So the holidays went well, gentlemen. No problems. No one ended up in any police stations or in jail.
Not one emergency vehicle pulled up to the front of the house, so that's
right.
Good.
We all got our socks and underwear that we're pleased with, right?
Yep.
Ray got a nice leopard print. I know that.
I did well.
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it's in my pocket here someplace. I'm not doing it.
Let's see. That's the phaser. This is the neutron scanner.
Exactly.
This is the dilithium crystal.
I actually have a next generation, a brand new Leatherman.
Now, what do they do with next generation?
Well,
is that like
okay.
Star Trek, the next generation?
Well, for one thing, I used to have a Leatherman Super Tool 200, which goes back from... I actually got that like 1992.
Okay. So like the late 80s, I remember they came out.
Right. I actually had a regular size Leatherman. I lost that, and my sister got me this one, which was the Super.
It was Super Tool 2.
Super Tool 200.
200.
Yes. It was I mean, I used that thing as a hammer. I used it as a crowbar. I mean, basically, I used to go on road calls,
right.
You know, back in like the early 90s. And if I couldn't get the car started with that, then I called the tow truck. All right. But the thing, first of all, weighed like 700 pounds.
Yeah.
Right. And this is a much lighter material. But one of the main things is that now you can grab it. And the Super Tool used to have a sharp edge here. So when you squeezed it tight, you had imprints on your hands.
Okay.
If not blood. Depending on how pissed you are.
Mm-hmm.
So now this has got a more ergonomic grip to it.
Nice.
And it also has replaceable tips for the wire cutter, which I do use quite
replaceable.
A bit. Replaceable? Yeah,
wow.
Look at that. See, they got little torque screws on them and stuff.
Nice.
Yeah, so this is...
Can I hold that up?
Yeah,
did they
means.
Add any other toolage? Any other?
No, actually, this one has a couple less tools, but
a couple less.
The one
they took out like the fish gutter. Or the,
yes, right.
The fish scaler. So I was like, what the hell do you have?
I'm handling Joe's Super Tool.
No, that's actually called a rebar.
Ooh.
That one's called a rebar.
A rebar?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I also liked it because it didn't have a fancy name like the wave or the juice or whatever.
Just yeah.
Rebar, yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. But there is it's a tool I would expect nothing less from Obi-Don Kenobi to be sporting his Super Tool 2000, whatever it is.
Mystery Science Tool 2000, yeah.
You're really the only person that respects it and uses the Leatherman tool. I know not too many guys. My dad carries it around to make him look like he knows what he's doing. Like it's like walking around with a saxophone case. It kind of like right. ups your cool factor. He walks around with the Leatherman just so he can say, like, yes, here I am. I am a craftsman. You know, I'm sporting my Leatherman. You know, that's what he does.
No, I mean, you know, you get something in your finger. You can, you know, the tip is very, very precise. You can yank the splinter out and stuff. You know, I've done surgery with myself on this thing. Yeah. Not this particular one. This ain't got broken in yet. The other one. Yeah, that thing really should have gone to med school by now.
I've done surgery on myself.
Yeah, you know, you get that hunk of metal or glass, like, just hanging out, and you got to get finished.
Well, I tell you.
But you can't wrap the rig or whatever around you. You know, I mean, I'm a big fan of electrical tape. Mm. You know, I'm one of those guys, you know, you get it cut, you just you know, tape it up with whatever's laying around, and you go back to work. But if the thing is hanging out of your finger, mm-hmm. you can't get the tape around it.
Right.
So you got to pull it out. Right?
You know, a neodendum magnet pulls steel out of your fingers really nice.
Yeah, it's also made a couple of the iron molecules out of your blood, too.
Well, it might, but, you know, so men have more iron than women, so we have a few to spare.
What kind of magnet?
A neodendum.
Yes.
Very strong.
It'll pull a splinter out of your flesh.
Those are the magnets you could put them on either. They had them for girls back in the 90s. My one daughter had them in a lesser strength, but still strong enough. You could put them on either side of the ear, and the magnetism would go through the earlobe and hold the earring in place.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. So you didn't have to pierce the ears. Now, I have them that are so strong, you can't pull them apart. You have to slide them. And yeah. I actually put something. I brought them in here. I had them in here.
They're pretty vicious, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I put a substrate in the middle, like cardboard or plastic, so they were still stuck on that plastic. But if you slid them, and God forbid your finger was in the middle, bang, it clamps on your finger, instant blood blister, and now you got to peel them off so you can see the blood blister. Yeah, they're very, very strong. I actually got little tiny ones, and I was going to retrofit them in my original Aurora cars.
Right.
To make the original Aurora, the AFX cars, track savvy. But I have the magnets. I never got to that project. So someday.
How can you possibly file down a magnet and shape it?
They're tiny. The ones I have for that application are very, very, very tiny. I'll bring them in and show you. Right. But I have a couple that are also, you know, big, you know, like scallop size. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones that'll get you.
No. Those things, yeah, those they have their uses. As a matter of fact, going back to
midnight. I was just going to ask, like, what would you possibly use something like that for?
Resetting GM gauges that went stupid.
Huh?
If you ever reconnected your battery on like a mid-90s to early 2000s GM car and the gauges just decided to go crazy.
Yes.
Yeah, what you had to do is you got a very powerful magnet and you just held it over the gauge and you just kind of... You just actually kind of swiped it, and the needle would come back.
I figured it would just keep pointing north.
Well, pointing the car north helped. Yeah. Well, at least that's what I used to tell the guys. I used to laugh when they were trying to, I can't get a spot like this.
Because that happened to me with the Chevy, with the Impala. Correct. I changed all of the stepper motors in the dash because my gauges
you
were going...
You watch River Dance.
Yeah. Yes. And my feet still are hurting. No, but I changed all those stepper motors, and it didn't take too long. It was a little bit involved, but it wasn't awful. And I saved myself a ton of cash because there were some services that were offering you would take your dash cluster and send it to them.
About $200-$300.
A couple hundred bucks, they'd send it back to you, all set up.
And you did the Pastina bulbs at the same time.
Yes, I did. Right? The cream of wheat bulbs.
Oh,
cream of wheat, Pastina. You know, it depends.
Aunt Jemima, I don't know who he was.
It depends on what the shipping address is.
Right, yes.
The Pastina bulb. Oh, yeah, that was another thing. I couldn't believe about that car because some of the radio, the lights and the radio buttons had gone out.
Right.
And I just figured, okay, no big deal. I'll pull the radio apart and just change the bulbs, right?
Oh, you poor
it
naive.
Did not happen. No, it didn't happen. And it got to the point where I took so many precautions, so many steps, that I ended up calling the dealer. And I said, do you have any solution to this problem? And they said, yeah, buy a new radio.
We'll sell you a new car.
Yeah. And I said, okay, well, how much can a radio possibly cost? Right? $150, $200? And they're throwing me numbers like $900 for a radio because the bulbs went out of the display.
And you got to program it, too.
Right.
Yeah, I can believe it. So what I did was I took the radio apart. I found some of my famous model cream of wheat bulbs and just soldered them all in there. And they worked just fine. And they're probably still working to this day. But yeah, I could not believe it. I could not believe that was the repair.
They were hoping you wouldn't keep the car that long. That's what it is.
Right, right.
But the bulbs had gone out. I think the car was 3 or 4 years old. And some of the bulbs were out.
Well, which is past your average lease.
Yeah, that's correct.
Think about it.
True enough.
No, that is true. But I think on that car, I've had the dash apart. I've done more soldering on that Impala than I was more than comfortable with.
Yeah, we had spoke about solder joints breaking on like modules and so forth for a while.
Yeah.
GM, whoever they had doing their soldering for a while there, really needed to hit the rehab.
You know, I had to touch up the odometer on my 96 Impala when the car was fairly new, because the odometers would go dim, then they'd go out. They would still work, but you just couldn't see it. And guys, that back time we had a listserv, an Impala listserv that was very popular, and guys were all over, like, oh, there's a guy who does it. I'm like, wait a minute, what does this guy do?
Mm-hmm.
And so you'd send him the board, and he would just touch up the solder. And it was, there were, if they got real bad, there was a couple of resistors that they would change. So, of course, you know, did it myself, took it out. The car was only a couple of years old, and mine went bad. And just literally touched them up. I don't think I changed the resistor in it. And that was it. So, yeah, back then, I guess the QC for soldering was
pretty bad.
I did the same thing on the Pathfinder because they had one of those simple digital clocks in there that would constantly flicker and die out. And I'd have to go in there and, like you say, Ray, just retouched all the components with a soldering.
It's a pitfall of any car, any newer vehicle with all the electronics in it. You know what I mean? The solder joints, the way things are done, and especially where we are, where we have great shifts in temperature and whatever.
And humidity.
You know what I mean? There's only so much you're going to be able to think about doing, you know, when you put the car in those, you know, you get the commercials with the giant refrigerator and the giant oven and all that stuff. Well, bring them to New York, baby. We'll check them out.
You know what was cool? When I was last in Disney and my daughter and I went through the GM Proving Ground ride.
Right.
And part of it showed you how they engineered cars, and you went through this like heat chamber, and of course it wasn't the big red things. It looked like, I'm looking at this thing coming down the tram thinking, oh my God, it's 1,000 degrees. They're going to burn us to cinders. It's not that hot. It looks that hot. And that was part of the visual. And then you would go through this cooling chamber that looked like the Arctic blast. And that was all to show you how they test the cars, you know, on their, through the cycling. But like I said, bring it here. We'll test them.
Right. That's for sure.
I did a couple things on my Pontiac that I'm kind of breaking my own rule on this.
Uh-oh.
Like, you know, we always talk about not changing too many things at once because you don't know what made a difference in...
Yes,
in the
minimizing
setup.
The variables.
That's
absolutely.
What I do. Yeah, but that's what I do.
Yeah, but now, well, I've done a couple things to the car because I haven't been using it now because it was too hard to get it out, and I did a couple of fuel system changes. I changed the springs, but I had that little problem with it was transition, low speed transition from highway to off ramp.
That one spot there, yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. When you
what
came
was
off,
it doing? Yeah,
well, that's what I'm saying. On the highway, it was fine, and I would slow down for an off ramp. And it, like in the middle of the off ramp, and I would downshift into say third out of fifth, and then come off the gas and go and get back on the gas. You feel a little bit of a hesitation, and then it would go away when you accelerated. So I tracked it down to the springs that are in the transfer side of the. I'm trying to think of the name of the needles, the transition needles. Nettlebrock uses the name from, I don't know. Mm-hmm. So I bought the spring kit.
The mission needles, the one with the little hooky things. Yeah,
right.
They also have them on the quadrajets, though, right?
The Q just had the hook. Yeah, the Nettlebrocks are on the side there, and they come in off the side. But they're spring
power
loaded.
Power piston.
There's a little power piston on it, right. And I changed the springs to see if that'll take care of it. And then yesterday, I had changed a piece of linkage on the carburetors because I needed a better piece of linkage, and I got it for Christmas. It was very nice. And so now I'm like, oh, that's two fuel system things at once. It's like, you know, is one going to like overshadow the other? I don't know. So we'll see. But that happens sometimes when you have downtime. You do things and
say a lot of it. Especially you want to take advantage of the warmer weather and so forth.
Yeah.
Because once the true spirit of winter settles in, nobody's doing nothing. Let's face it, you know?
That's for sure.
Exactly.
516-572-7440. And I want to thank Joe because talk about anticipating and trying to head off a potential problem at the pass. I had Joe look at the Jeep.
But now,
I looked at nothing.
But you guys found that there's really nothing that was glaringly...
Which kind of bothers the living crap out of me.
Yeah, I understand that.
You know, it's bad enough that my wife gives me these, well, crazy, convoluted sort of ways that...
You mean a vague description of the problem?
Yes! I got a vague description of the problem that just keeps... It keeps getting vaguer and vaguer, if that's a word. Vaguer.
Yeah, Chevy sold that car back in the 70s. It didn't go over well.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Is the prognosis that maybe it was some kind of a glitch in the system that happened that's an anomaly?
I personally think it was some kind of a voltage issue from sitting in traffic or something like that. The battery went a little bit low or something along those lines because we actually, what do we have? 14 computers in that thing?
Yeah,
there was 14 computers. I did the module scan.
Oh, okay.
And the only module that had anything to say was the radio.
The radio?
Because what did it say?
It said...
Put on a better station.
It had stupid disc. It had inappropriate disc.
Really?
Installed, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you listening to?
It's not me. It's probably all nursery rhymes. I don't know.
Oh, right, Dice Clay. I think Dice Clay does nursery. Hickory Dickory Dock.
Yeah, probably was. Probably found one of mine by mistake.
Yeah, we can't say half of that stuff.
No. Little Miss Muffet.
That was the only thing. It was the disc.
Wow.
Other than that, it was that's a perfectly bizarre. Happy little Jeep.
Yeah. So I'm pleased, but a little concerned. So
you're not going to be pleased when you get the next round of complaints.
Right. Exactly.
You're like, Joe
D is here with us. 516-572-7440. Ray Guarino. I'm Chris Switzer. And of course, the Motormouth Radio on the group of the hour. Driver shopping for a car between Christmas and New Year's. What I like to lovingly call dead week. So if you feel like helping out those year-end sales quotas, you're part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. Keep it where you got it.
Have a question about your car or someone else's car? Then give the Motormouths a call, 516-572-7440.
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time. Motormouth Radio on 90.3 FM WHPC.
Inspired by Daft Punk, Technologic showcases a wide variety of electronic music, ranging from artists such as DEADMAU5 and Armin van Buuren to LCD Sound System, Kraftwerk, and everything in between, offering you a unique blend of music every week, along with concert updates and more. Get in the mix with yours truly, Erica Z, Saturdays and Tuesdays at 11 p.m., only on 90.3 FM WHPC, the radio voice of Nassau Community College.
Car not running right? Let the Motormouths help you out at 516-572-7440.
All righty. We're bad. We're nationwide. We're something. Okay. I don't know.
Bumbling idiots.
It's stumbling and
they
bumbling.
They can't remember our names half the time.
Bumbling and stumbling.
This show's going to be great in transition, let me tell you.
That's Ray Guarino. I'm Chris Switzer. Joe D in the studio. Let's go to the phones. To the fun. Hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
Hello.
As we wait.
Gentlemen, Chris and Ray.
Hey, Bob.
Robert. How are you, sir?
Hey there.
Guys.
Yes, what's going on, my brother?
Hope everything was well. Everything was good.
Oh, yeah. We did well. Santa was good. How about you?
Good. We just got back from the Chesapeake, so that was nice.
Very nice.
Nice, nice.
All right, so I don't know if I have the name correct, but Motormouth Person of the Year.
Oh, right. Well, we're getting to that time again, right?
Yes, we are. Yes,
winding down. Just from the shows that I've listened to, I haven't made them all. Joey D is obviously a contender, but he's more of a part of the show now.
I'm right. A fixture.
So,
correct.
You have to excuse me if I don't get her name correct. Is it Dina?
Dina Parisi.
Yes. She wins.
Okay,
absolutely.
And why does Dina get the nod this year, Bob? Because last year, now it was Kim last year, because he had Rob and Kim in there, and I think I think Kim edged Rob.
Kim won for keeping Rob grounded.
Okay.
way he doesn't blow up the studio and preempt you guys.
All right, so what's Dina's credentials for this year? What was determinant?
Every time she comes in, or even when she surprises your studio... She's a racer. She's hands-on. She talks about her crew. She walks the walk.
Yes, she does.
Yeah, absolutely.
She does. You know, how many girls you know can... I mean, we all know women who can run and who have, but she does that season after season.
Yes, absolutely.
Very true. So Bob, what do we do? Do we transfer the crown?
Oh, no. There's like a star on the wall in like a CIA hallway.
Got it.
So it's going to be a continuum.
So Kim can keep her Motormouth Radio of the Year trophy.
Yes.
Her crown. She can keep it. And Dina will, in turn...
Remove it from my head like they did with Miss Universe?
Kim is in the studio with us.
Is that Steve Harvey?
Oh, God, great.
Yes.
Great.
He just got hired to do the Brazil Brazil show because the guy who's in charge of they got a president, whatever, the dictator, whoever runs Brazil, he said he appreciated Steve Harvey's honesty so much that he invited him to come down in 2016 for their national beauty pageant.
Really?
To be the...
How could you not?
Yeah, right. Pretty cool.
How could you not?
Yeah, well, it was good. Why not?
So we have to send a big congratulations to Dina Parisi, who has now become the Motormouth Radio Person of the Year.
And I want to thank Chris Ray. I want to thank Kim Tracy for being the producer, and of course, Joey D.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you very much.
Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year. Always a pleasure. Take care. Bye-bye.
And of course, we would have to thank Bob for being a contributor of
that
the year.
That is true.
Because he's always got poignant stuff.
Wouldn't be the same without him. That's
right.
For sure.
Very, very true. So I'm sure there's going to be noises going on, because that's usually how Bob handles things, with a
right noise. Okay.
You betcha.
There you go.
We still have time. 516-572-7440, and maybe Dino will call. I don't know.
Maybe. Joe, what's up with you for the new year, car-wise? What's happening with the fun stuff? Anything?
The fun stuff? Well, at this point, we're just trying to maintain the status quo.
Okay.
Going to do some cosmetic stuff to the Camaro this year, I think.
Put the decals back on it?
Yeah.
Really?
Fix up the paint, you know what I mean? Okay. Maybe the decals.
The hell with that clutch problem, right?
Actually, it hasn't been bad.
Really?
It has not been bad.
I felt that. That was pretty noticeable.
Yeah, but for the meantime, at some point, I'm going to have to just rip everything down. You know what I mean? I just have to hang the thing up in the air. And
last time I was in that car, we went to Belmore, and I remember thinking, I had this sense, because, you know, you do this to me. You say, well, you know, I'm thinking it's this, not that, like where I, which is great because you get another point of view.
Right.
And I remember thinking, you know, I'm thinking maybe like a mount issue or something. I was thinking the transmission mount or...
Right.
Well, that's kind of the sensation I got.
Can you clue me in? What's going on?
It's kind of a little bit of a shutter.
Yeah.
Right. You know, sometimes at low speed, like if you're trying to do a parking maneuver or something like that, you'll get like a shutter out of the car, and you thought like the clutch might be
chattering. Like, that would be clutch chatter. Yeah, right.
And
okay. Is it glazed at all?
It could be, considering that I don't
drive. Donuts we had were.
Yeah,
I know that.
They crisp, well, you know, don't get it at its finest.
Stay on track, Joe. Ignore the man with the orange shirt.
Well, you see, you got to remember something. I don't drive stick all that much, number one. Number two, I taught my son how to drive stick on that car.
Oh,
and which he did. How is it? He did very well.
How is it when Mike drives?
It's fine. It's fine. You know, he stalls it once in a while, but considering he gets and drives a V8 clutch, you know, maybe three
impressive.
Or four times a year, he ain't bad.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, that's going to change this year too. You're going to get more road time, Mike.
So it's
in case you're listening.
It's an original clutch in the car.
Everything's original drivetrain wise on that thing.
I love what's that, Joe?
Let Ray drive.
Yes,
this works in all instances.
Yes, it is the catch-all phrase.
But I think if Mike is not exhibiting the shuddering that you're feeling, it could be that interplay, the human interplay with the leg and the clutch pedal.
He also has a longer leg.
Well, right. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that make a difference.
Right.
And I mean, I put on a different pair of shoes, and I feel my car feels different to me, literally. It really does.
Yes.
You put on no pants, and the car feels
Everything feels different. So it may just be that, Mike has a different sensory input than you do. Mm. And maybe something's
not old.
Well, maybe something's on the verge, but it's not that bad yet.
Yeah, right.
Yes, that was flashing.
Want to see if we can take a quick call?
Yeah. Go, do it. Yeah.
Hi, you're on with the Motormouths. You got about a minute. Hello.
That's the time to say hi.
All right, forget it. 516-572.
Or not.
Oh, wait, no, I'm not even reading. We only have a minute left of the program. So this is it. We have this is the last program before, or we have one more?
No. Thursday.
Next Thursday is
Is the 31st.
That's right. We're here on New Year's Eve. We're doing the New Year's Eve broadcast.
Oh, we're not doing it like at midnight or anything, so.
Why not? We can't?
You can show up if you want.
Can we show up drunk?
No. What would be different than some of the other shows we've done? We should do something different, you know.
Inebriation. Why not?
Yeah.
So, definitely.
We'll wrap it all up for you.
New Year's Eve. is going to be the last show for Motormouth Radio in 2015. This is going to be a lot of fun. And then after that, we're celebrating our 14th anniversary.
Correct.
14 years doing this silly stuff.
They still haven't caught up.
Oh, my gosh. It's crazy.
It's amazing what you can tuck under your jacket.
All righty. Joe D., once again, thank you so much for being here. You make
good
the show.
Good to see you, Joe.
My eyes are on you. You know, you
make
the
show 521% better. For Ray Guarino, I'm Chris Switzer. This is Motormouth Radio. Stay safe. Stay sane. And also, stay away from us. Don't follow us home.
Oh, hello.
See ya.
Bye.